Dirt and Sprague.
I think there was a level of shock about the significance of the draft picks. Certainly, all five picks. One of those picks is a Pacers pick that they got in the Ivica Zubac trade. So they basically have stripped down, and they've got two left, at their disposal here. But I think the fine certainly is one thing, but I think the level of picks that were taken away was one of the things that probably caught a lot of teams off guard.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Ronald Acuna Jr. hits it deep to left. Lyle is out of room, and that is career home run number 200 for Ronald Acuna Jr., and he sent that one to the moon.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and the Fan Sports Network. Hello, good morning. Happy Thursday, everybody.
What is happening?
I'm a little bothered. You know, I thought I was going to come in today, and the whole show is going to be about Ronald Acuna and the fastest player to 200 dingers and stolen bases.
I got to admit, look, I had no idea that went on because I've checked out of baseball about 4 months ago. But then I hear the highlights on the show, or we have a report, and I'm like, oh, that happened in baseball last night. That's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie to you. Now, maybe it shouldn't surprise me. That is a shocking stat to me. That nobody's done it faster than him.
He's 28.
I know. He's also, I feel like, missed.
He's oft injured.
You know, there's been some chunks of season.
Oh, yeah, he's missed the entire season.
So it's like, how is nobody, like, your Bonds and Griffey and May, you go back to all the historic, that's an incredible accomplishment.
I got to be with you on this, because I had the game on, and then it kind of got out of hand, and then he hit the home run late, and it made it 9-0.
So you're just, it's a blowout. You're having fun.
You're like, whatever.
Beat up on DC.
But when I saw him hit the home run, and then they said the stat, I also was like,
yeah.
Who
really?
Did he beat? Who was the all-time record before Acuna yesterday for 200-200?
I believe it was Rafael Soriano. So it's his fewest games, not youngest.
Okay. Yeah.
Got it. Okay.
Fewest games.
Even that still
there.
Is like, still that's stat. Incredible.
Like both the Bonds, Bobby Bonds and Barry Bonds, I think were in the top five.
Yeah.
I think it was, what, 904 here. Games?
Are we talking like he's blowing people out or was it edged
there's
out?
There's a chunk.
There's a chunk. Yeah, a gap there.
Yeah, there's a little gap.
Remarkable, man.
So Alfonso Soriano did it.
Yeah, you said Rafael Soriano, and I'm like, what? That threw me off for
Alfonso
a second.
Soriano.
Alfonso Soriano did it at a record at 929 games in August of 06.
929.
Yeah.
Okay. And what was Acuna's game yesterday?
904, I believe.
So that's, he smoked him.
He smoked
him. That's a month of baseball right there.
He's not had a great season either. He's been a little weird. Like, his batting average is not very good. And they've not put him down in the lineup. They've kept him up. But that was a cool moment. And then the NBA was like, the hell, we will talk about Ronald Acuna Jr.
You're not getting any attention today. We're not talking baseball on the show today.
And that's okay. It's a Nationals-Braves game. Much like you, like, if you're watching the Giants, right, if the Giants were a little better than they are.
Yeah.
I mean, I think a lot of us are like this. Mariner fan, maybe you're a Giants fan, a Dodger fan, a Braves fan, whoever your fandom is, if you actually have the extra innings package, I have no idea what happens in baseball largely day to day,
right?
Unless I either turn on SportsCenter,
happen to see the highlights,
see a tweet, Otherwise, I'm going in blind. Give me one fun fact about Padres Reds yesterday. Their catcher is the youngest catcher since Pudge.
I actually did see that, a 20-year-old making his debut.
He went 0-4, though, so it's like,
nothing notable happened.
You know, nothing real notable other than that.
I am now on. I think we have to be for Ronald Acuna Jr. Screw the NBA. They'll get their time today. Don't worry. The Clippers will. Are we on 400-400 watch? Do we think he can get there?
He's got to stay healthy.
He's only 28.
I know, but his health is it's always a problem.
You got at least, I would say, there's no doubt he's going to be in and out of the lineup. 7 more years of playing high-level baseball.
It depends on how much his legs hold up. Yeah. His leg injuries don't bother him.
Right.
He's already got 225 stolen bases. He's ahead on stolen bases.
He got there ahead
of
the home
runs. That was the 200 home runs.
Yeah, it was 200th home run, so that got him there. So he only needs 175 stolen bases. But as you said, his legs have to stay healthy.
Because to this point, there's still only one guy 400-400 all time. Mm-hmm. Only one guy in baseball history.
Yep.
He's also done 500-500.
Yeah.
And he's not in the Hall of Fame.
Oh.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, let's act like that didn't exist.
Well, he cheated. You know, he's the only cheater in baseball history.
That guy. That guy.
The Steve Ballmer of baseball.
He's the only man in two different clubs, 400, 400, and 500, 500. He's the only guy to ever do it.
But guy went to jail for him for years, but he didn't do anything wrong.
Hey, easy. Get your interpreters under control
at
LA, okay?
What Chris Carter say at the NFL draft?
Gotta have a fall guy.
Gotta have a fall guy.
Gotta have a fall guy.
Somebody call that being a pro, okay? Some people call that being a pro.
Or Uncle Dennis.
As much as... Well, yeah, you think Uncle Dennis is still welcome at Thanksgiving? I'd imagine that relationship is still there. He's just not an agent.
I think
I'm guessing
Kawhi Leonard
might...
is fine. He's $700,000 to Kawhi Leonard. How much did he make in his time in the Clippers?
And he's going to get an extension with the
Raptors. Dude. Kawhi Leonard is perfectly fine out of this deal. I think him and Uncle D are still still close.
I think what we do a lot is we project how we think they feel or are operating, and then reality is like Kawhi Leonard woke up today and does not care.
No, he doesn't notice $700,000 are missing.
Just get my trade done so I can go back to Toronto.
Also, the insinuation like Uncle Dennis did this all on his own and Kawhi had no say in it whatsoever.
I was blind. What? You got me more money?
I was just playing basketball.
I was just focusing on basketball.
I was trying to rehab my knee or quad for the 18th time.
Yeah, dude. It's utterly ridiculous. I'd love to keep talking about my Bravos and Ronald Acuna and how happy I was yesterday. He's one of those players for me. I you know, sports is sports. I hope he never is not a Brave.
Yeah, you hope he finishes the career with the team.
Even if his
He doesn't go Freddie Freeman at the end. Isn't that kind of on the Braves, too?
That was a little bit on the Braves, but also, like, you know, Freddie could have been a little more patient. And also, I'll give Freddie a pass here. Like, he went home. He went to California.
Yeah, that's true.
And, you know, whatever. He gave us a World Series before he checked out to the dynasty. Whatever. I don't really hate Freddie Freeman. I hope Acuna stays a Brave for his whole career, because you don't get players like that very often.
Nope.
That you love them, and also they produce, and also they're an MVP. And
right.
The only weird thing about his career for me, the 1 year he got hurt and didn't play is the year they won the World Series.
Dude, that's got to kill him inside.
It's a Carson Wentz type deal where he's still really good.
He has a World Series ring, but he didn't play in the World Series.
Dude, he's been a great defensive player. He just hosed out somebody from the outfield the other day. Dude, like a remarkable throw.
I saw that highlight. It was insane.
So it's like I love Ronald Acuña Jr. He's a lot of fun. He wears the bright colors. But his only thing is we won the World Series.
And as long as the Braves keep the team from falling into what happened with the Angels with Mike Trout. I mean, Mike Trout might go his whole career as an Angel and put up ungodly numbers, but...
The Braves don't I mean, look,
no,
the Braves are...
How close Trout is to 400-400.
Yeah, that's look that up.
See if he's in even, like, in the ballpark.
I might be biased in saying
this. I would say stolen bases,
The Braves are not going to fall to an Angel level. They might have seasons of going down, but they can't operate that way.
No,
I think the question on those guys is how long do they want to keep going when they're not an elite player anymore? That's usually what changes, because then it's on the team of, like, do we keep re-signing this guy, but he's not what he was, and he's still playing.
But
like,
am I going to...
Trout, by the way, he's not going to sniff it. He's at 225 stolen bases.
Yeah.
His last...
Damn.
Dude, since 2020...
Acuna's already there.
His stolen base number since 2020... 1, 2, 1, 2, 6, 2, and this year he has 11.
Can you give us reference, like, 3 seasons before 2020?
All the years before that, his first handful of full seasons of the bigs, 49, 33, 16, 11, 30, 22, 24, and then 11.
He can't run it all.
And it has fallen off a cliff. He's at 424 home runs, so he's already there.
Yeah.
He'll get to 500 home runs, probably.
I mean, he's going to make the Hall of Fame.
He'll be a Hall of Famer, yeah. 3 MVPs, like, they're rookie of the year, no doubt about that. But no, not anywhere close to 400.
I'd love to keep talking about it, but...
Yeah, this just dropped out of the sky as I was cranking out production for football season.
Wait, what?
Do we have new?
Do you know what my breaking news is?
From
Do you have
today?
Breaking news?
We have multiple breaking news.
Do you have breaking news?
What's the breaking news?
No, I thought
news?
The breaking news from
Adam
yesterday.
Silver has balls. Is that the breaking news?
I mean, he dropped him on Steve Ballmer's face yesterday.
I didn't know he had him. Good for him.
Steve, you know what?
Get your two
Took
of these.
His pants down and said, come here. Like, damn, Adam. Okay.
Dude, Steve.
No more Spider-Man.
Develop this.
No, it's not. I mean, the breaking news yesterday was.
Oh, you have actual breaking news.
I have actual breaking news.
What you got?
In fact, breaking news. Sometimes I do this, and I don't know if you guys like when I do this or not do this. I could have shared this with you off the air to give you a heads up on the breaking news, but I've been holding the breaking
Shaden
news.
Shaden Sharpe's
to
been traded? Oh. That was for dirt.
No, Shaden Sharpe has not been traded.
Still a Blazer.
He's still a Blazer.
Yeah, just checking.
Don't freak out there. Don't listen to Swag. He's an idiot. Got a text at 10:21 p.m. last night. I was dead asleep, so I woke up to a text. Yo.
Yo.
Let's do next week. I can't go weekly, but can do periodically this season. The commish, Josh Pate.
Hey, we got him. We got him. Well, kind of. We kind of got him, boys.
Kind
of. Look at that.
He debuts. For those that don't know, he debuts a ESPN show tomorrow with the Bussin' with the Boys guys. They already do the Locker Room Talk podcast.
Yes.
So they're basically going to bring that show to ESPN. So
I think they're taking it on. If I'm not wrong, I believe I read they're going to campuses on Friday
to do
it.
He's going to LSU.
So he'll be at LSU tomorrow doing it.
So they'll be live on campus. They'll be doing the specialty show on Fridays. That paired with, I saw his mug on Get Up maybe 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Paired with his show, paired with, you know, fill in the blank other stuff.
Yes.
We haven't had a lot of coordination because the techs are tough. I've talked to Dirt about this off the air of like, we've been bummed at times when we reach out and we don't get a response. But I also like, I give it the wiggle room of this. I can't quite fathom what I would be like.
How many texts he's
getting
from all
of them. If I had 300 texts in my phone. Like, Dirt doesn't respond to our texts when we send two for like 5 hours.
I have 20 unread text messages on my phone, and that's too many. Imagine 397.
I was going to say, I can't imagine what it's like to look and just see 200.
Just too many. I can't respond to all of them.
I mean, I like to think I'm good on responding to texts too, but like, even I will get overwhelmed at like seven. I'll just be like, no offense. I'll respond at some point.
We all have our moments where we forget.
Yeah.
He wanted to circled back. Took a couple texts, but he saw it and he shined the bat light back on us. It said, hey,
nice.
No promises yet. We're still trying to coordinate like what periodically means. It might be a twice a month hit.
Yeah.
It's all good.
I would just say, given again the schedule demands of his life the last 2 years,
we'll take it.
We will take anything we can. So we coincidentally, we had two people tweet us last night to the show tweet, no Josh Pate, no Josh Pate. And I'm like, hey, just kind of lined up. This is perfect timing. He will be on next week, and then we will work on what periodically means with Josh Pate as the college football season rolls on.
Phenomenal news to start the show. We've gotten that question a lot over the last couple of weeks, and we're like, hey, you know, we're hoping. We're trying. Fingers crossed that this is all going to play out, and to find out that it is live on the air, well done. Well done. Way to be persistent, Brandon Sprague. That's how we do it right
there.
You
know, when you send three text messages and they don't respond, you know you're kind of a nuisance, but when they do respond with a yo, it made me feel a little good of like, it wasn't a nuisance. It was him just finally seeing the text.
Finally had a moment to sit down and respond to everything. You sent three you up texts and you finally got a response. Indeed. She is up.
I did.
It's always tough to gauge, okay, what is the timeline of being persistent, showing, hey, if we can work it out, versus when do I become a nuisance?
You don't want to be annoying.
It's
you don't
a fine line.
Right.
And it's also one that had he canceled or cut off, I think to your point, we are fully aware and understand why. It's like, you got a lot on your plate. You got some bigger fish to fry than us. Don't forget about little old Portland, Oregon, USA, as Kevin Calabro would say. We've also had a really good relationship with him over the years and had him on before he blew up. So to keep him on, man, it's awesome. He's a great voice. He's the biggest voice, arguably, that we have in college football. The impact of college football, you want to know how popular the sport is? You see the numbers from the Florida State game yesterday?
I actually didn't see any numbers, no.
So they played New Mexico State at home on the CW.
On the dub.
The WB.
Florida State's game was on CW.
It's an ACC deal.
ACC's
that was
got
the
a
ACC
deal with C-Dub.
C-Dub scooped it up
but
for week
C-Dub
one.
Now is also
ESPN.
On the ESPN app.
Weirdly makes me feel good to see programs like Florida State on CW because mine's largely made fun of for being on the CW.
People shouldn't make fun of it because it's literally in every household in America. It's like one of the most universally had channels that exists. And they averaged just shy of 2 million viewers, and it peaked at roughly 3 million viewers, if not more than that.
That's pretty good.
Florida State, New Mexico State in week zero.
For some college football.
I mean, curious it's NFL light, man. Yeah. It's going to be NFL on days we don't have NFL is what that has become.
I wonder what the Colorado Georgia Tech number is tonight. That's the big ESPN
It'll be huge.
Game.
It has to be big.
You'll get a Deion boost a little bit. It's also
5 million, 6 million, something like
Georgia
that.
Georgia Tech's been a good game. Program. You got Deion on the sidelines. I have no idea what Colorado is. Bill Conley's telling me they got all this talent. Like, okay, they've been pretty bad 2 of the 3 years.
Right.
Feels like a pretty big year for Deion down there. Like, let's see what it is. I would imagine that number's pretty good. It's the second biggest sport in the country. There's really an argument to be made.
Nope.
Otherwise, the other thing about that is, like, I was thinking about this after I saw the text. I woke up. This is exactly how this played out. I woke up this morning. I get up. It's 3:45. I'm like, all right, let's kind of get out of this bed. Let's get going. And, you know, I sat up on my bed, and I'm just looking at my wall, and I had this thought of, like, man, we probably, this is karma, the whole no pay response thing. And the reason I thought that was, years ago, we used to have a gambling guy on every Friday named Kevin Todd.
We did,
And we didn't, I couldn't build up the courage to tell him we weren't bringing him back. And
today,
so,
I'm laying the big wood.
We Irish goodbyed that relationship.
I kind of Irish goodbyed it, and I felt bad about it because he was always very nice to us. He took us out to Vegas one year.
Yeah.
And I've always felt bad about that, but I didn't want to bum him out. And that was a few years ago. And then when I woke up this morning, I'm not kidding, I looked at my wall and I'm like, dude, this is all karma on me for that. And then I grabbed my phone
and there's a text message,
and I went, oh my god,
there
oh my god,
the commish, remember,
open it up,
the universe aligned,
like, never mind.
We look, Kevin Todd was great for years. We also were terrified every time we had him on of what is going to come out of his mouth. And
he was
a loose cannon.
He's a habitual line stepper.
Yeah. But yes.
A habitual line stepper.
Like, that made me uncomfortable.
That would have made jokes uncomfortably on the air, and we would have been like, you can't say that. It's not 1992 anymore.
Kind of funny. You wanted to laugh every once in a while.
You did.
But,
you did. And 2026, some things you cannot say that maybe you used to be able to say 10 years ago, and that was a constant fear of that.
Hey, that golf commercial was funny, wasn't it?
No,
it wasn't actually.
You do that over your driver, too.
No, we're no longer working for the company.
No, I don't,
no, we
Kevin.
Wouldn't.
No,
I wouldn't. No, never have, never will. Sorry.
We do miss him, but yeah, Sprague and Line kind of morphed into something different, too. Like, it was a sponsor
segment.
Well,
also, we lose the sponsors to read, and so yeah, it's, anyways, long-winded way of saying, Pate will be back for football season. We'll have him on next week, as I'm looking
on
ESPN right now, literally.
Yeah, we got maybe playoff expansion news today. You want to talk about that? Ooh, is everybody on board?
Oh, it's the SEC wanting to defer attention from what's going on in Baton Rouge today.
Yes, ironically, Greg Sankey came out and said, you know what, we might support this if you do this.
Is it also odd that I'm watching him and the Bussin guys, who are probably previewing the show on Get Up? Is it odd to think he texts me at 10:30 last night Pacific, so that's 1:30 Eastern. He's in Nashville.
And Nashville now he's on... is Central Time.
Ooh, you sure about that?
I am. I've 100%? Been there. Yeah.
I'm going to take Swag's word on the time zone thing. We're pretty bad at those.
Who books the guests on this show?
We.
Nashville might be one of those weird Phoenix-Vegas zones for me, then, that I mix up with Central and Eastern.
Let's check them out.
It doesn't matter if it's Eastern or
it was still after
either way, it's 12-something
or
1-something.
It's 1 a.m., and he's already been on TV for 40 minutes.
They are indeed 2 hours ahead of us.
Okay, so Central, it's 10:20. It's 12:21 when he texts me that.
Yeah, and then we're turning around. We're up. We're turning and burning.
He's got to have an odd sleeping schedule.
It's 8:18 a.m. right now, and you're live on ESPN.
That's crazy.
Get up, put your makeup on, let's go.
Yeah. Right.
Pop out in your living room, get your camera
on. Get
that
breakfast bowl down.
Get that breakfast bowl, and we're going. We're getting up is what we're doing
now
today.
Now, what do we place it on? We don't actually get a response back for next week to lock down a daytime.
I mean, I'd say about 10% odds. We got to give it about
10%. Only 10.
I'd only give it 10.
I put that at 23.
I think
usually once he says, let's do it, now we may not find out until
the day of
10:21 the night before. Hey, I can do 7 a.m. tomorrow.
Hot route. Move that around.
Let me ask you this.
No, we're moving the magic hat. It's happening.
I think I know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask anyway. What if it is next Thursday and he goes, I can go like 7:05, but Jamarcus Shepherd also wants to come back on the show.
Ooh, he wants to come back on
he
the show.
He won't, but I'm just saying, like, what if that happens?
We have to bump somebody, or do we bump somebody?
I'd put them both on.
Simultaneous interview.
Sure, why not?
What?
hey, Pate, you got any questions for Shepherd?
Why would you put both on? Shepherd, how would you conduct that?
You remember Pate when he was walking around? He did give him a fist bump when he got the
job.
Oh, you
know they
have a good relationship.
He's an Alabama guy.
Because he was down at the Iron Bowl, I think, last year, and they were high-fiving and hugging over the accepted OSU job.
Josh, what question would you ask Jamarcus Shepherd? Because he's on the line with you right now.
Hey, they just pulled off a massive upset over Houston, and they're flying high into Texas Tech this week.
Don't tease me with a good time.
All of a sudden, that
they got some good news yesterday, too.
They did.
A good move.
Dude, it's a triple whammy of news.
They went to the Benton County Courthouse.
They said, you know what? We want to play.
The Hassan Whiteside of we got shooters. We got judges. We got judges.
I've always wanted to file a restraining order against somebody.
Oh. Who are you most likely to do it with at the Fan? I'd say right now.
At the Fan?
Based on your beef right now, I'd say Patrick Harris is probably your guy.
Oh, me and Patrick.
You guys got some weird mojo going on right now.
We're good, man.
You're beefing over European soccer. You got a Beav Coug thing going on. He's texting you. You're not responding. It's a whole thing right now.
Who would I put a restraining order on? I wouldn't put one on anybody.
We know
the
answer to that. We actually know the answer to that.
We do?
Yeah, we definitely do. There's one candidate.
Who is it?
Eat your own bud.
I'm putting a restraining order against Schultz.
Schultz, stay away from me!
Is that because he's making advances at
me? I think he's into you.
He's
stirring your drink, buddy.
All right. I was going to name a family member.
500 yards.
Let's keep him
500 yards away.
Not from a school, but from Brandon Sprague at all times.
Oh, man. Well, we got a loaded show today. Jamarcus Shepherd's going to join us at 7 a.m. So he's going to join us in the cafe. We can kick off that interview asking him, what does he like to eat for breakfast?
Yeah.
Yeah, what's his go-to breakfast?
What is a staple breakfast for Jamarcus Shepherd? Is it more from childhood to adulthood, or has it largely been the same meal?
Yeah.
And when does he have it? Is he like a 4:30 a.m. give me a full boat sort of thing, or does he have like
that?
It's a pertinent question for Saturday. They got a 9 a.m. body clock start time, so what time's that breakfast going down?
Well, here's another question. The last time he was on, he clearly was driving to the facility, got out, and was walking into the facility.
Yes, he was,
because the car and the tunnel noise and stuff. I wonder if we catch him in the car again, or if he is at the facility, because of what you mentioned, 9 o'clock Pacific, 11 a.m. Central.
Early time. When are they leaving? Are they leaving tomorrow?
I would imagine they would leave later today.
Because it is an early game. That's kind of a complicated one. Do you want to get in late for the 9 a.m. game, body clock?
Can I give you a hot take?
Yeah, go ahead.
Oregon to Texas, Corvallis to Houston, the body clock thing just doesn't exist to me. It's 2 hours.
Oh, I'm with you. It's just the idea of playing a game at 9 o'clock in the morning.
I understand that, but that's where you wake up early every day of the week for practice, and not so much, let's get to Texas at a certain point for body clocks.
It's more if they want to walk through in the stadium, I think, than...
Yeah, that's what I would say it's more about.
We talked about this yesterday. It's fascinating in the NFL right now. I would always err on the side, if I were a coach, of getting there as soon as possible.
Well, what does the science of it say, though? I think that's the hard part that nobody
knows.
Well,
clearly the NFL is telling us there's two different sciences.
I know.
From two different really well-run organizations. That's what makes it so interesting.
All right, well, that's a busy little first segment. A lot to get to today. Let's touch on the Kawhi Leonard stuff. We can kind of circle back. That was the big sports story yesterday. We got college football. We got NFL to talk about. Jamarcus Shepherd at 7, and it's a Magic Hat Thursday. By the way, quick question. Do you know how to spell the word dumb? Dumb. If you can, I need you to text it in. I'm just fascinated based on something somebody said yesterday that we may have to play for the Magic Hat. We'll get to that. Loaded show. Dirt and Sprague. We start with Kawhi Leonard news next on The Fan. All right. Good morning. Welcome back in. Dirt and Sprague here on a beautiful little Thursday morning. Jamarcus Shepherd will join us at the top of the hour. So we'll talk some Oregon State and Houston Cougar football.
Big news for the Beavs yesterday. We can ask Coach about it at the top of the hour.
They got two players that got the restraining order, so they'll be able to play. Jaheim Patterson and Van Wells will be eligible for Oregon State this weekend, which is big for their line. And we'll talk with him about that and other things as we welcome him to the cafe. We'll get some college football randoms coming up in the show today. And it's, again, as I mentioned, it's a Magic Hat Thursday. But we must talk about what was the big breaking news yesterday. I took a delightful little 22-minute nap. And when I awoke, I just happened to go, you know what? I'm going to open my Twitter app on my phone. I don't normally do that. And I just happened to open it maybe 3 minutes after it started making its way on the Twitter rounds. And that was the NBA deciding that the Clippers and Steve Ballmer did indeed know about circumventing the salary cap, and they have doled out the punishment to the LA Clippers, 5 first round draft picks, $30 million fine, and a 1-year suspension for owner Steve Ballmer, plus suspensions for team president of basketball and business operations, or just business operations, excuse me, Gillian Zucker, who became a very big name in the report from the NBA, and that's 1 year without pay for her. And then president of basketball operations, Lawrence Frank, 6 months without pay. So the Clippers will forfeit first-round picks in 29, 30, 31, 32, and 33. If you add those to the Thunder in the trade for the Paul George with SGA, 10 first-round draft picks they've lost to acquire and keep Kawhi Leonard, who delivered 0 championship appearances for the LA Clippers and is now a Toronto Raptor. Kawhi Leonard was also punished in this. He was hit with a $700,000 fine, so he'll have to pay that back. I don't know if that just gets taken out of his paycheck or if it needs to be a lump sum, but that's not very important. What's important here is Pablo Torre had this report almost a year ago, and people went back and forth. Is this a real thing? We have audio we can get to. We can talk about the reporting on ESPN's side because whoopsie-daisy. Pablo Torre, the biggest of victory laps. He already won the Pulitzer Prize as a podcaster, and he got to take a huge victory lap yesterday for all the reporting he had on this, plus the Daktronics deal that came out just about a month and a half ago as a tie-in to the Kawhi Leonard saga.
I mean, for Pablo Torre, it's a hell of a day to find that out. He felt like something was going to happen. He obviously broke the entire story and revealed all of it. He ends up being the winner and the biggest winner yesterday out of that deal. And a side tangent of that is I saw him do an interview recently, and he said the next one he's looking into is the Brunson deal with the Knicks. And so now if I'm a Knicks fan, I'm like, oh, my God, things are finally going right for us. We just won a championship. Can you not sniff around the finances of Brunson taking a cheaper deal and coming here in free agency is basically a pre-agreed to contract when you left Dallas in free agency. The next round of applause does have to go to Adam Silver, man. I have questioned this entire time whether he would actually do something serious about this and whether he would take it as seriously as he should. And clearly yesterday, finding out what the punishment was going to be, he took it seriously. And you're now looking at, I mean, you could probably go back historically speaking and find something from, I don't know, 100 years ago and see the team got hammered by this or that.
Joe Smith, the Timberwolves, is the big one in this regard of, like, circumventing the cap.
Right.
Having the napkin agreement.
Right. We came to a deal before we were supposed to.
They got hit with 5 first-round pick losses. The owner, Glenn Taylor, the president, Kevin McHale, they got suspended as well. That's kind of your precedent, but this is an even bigger punishment.
And you're looking at essentially a move that, I don't know how long it's going to, but at least in the short term, the Clippers were already a little bit dead because Kawhi Leonard's gone and they're restarting and they were nothing with Kawhi Leonard to begin with. You've killed the Clippers for like a decade. They're gone. They're not even worth talking about. They're irrelevant. They didn't have any first-round picks for the run-up to this. Now they're losing their next 5 first-round picks from 29 all the way to 33. Like, good luck, man. Good luck building a team without any of those because you have not shown the ability to do that in the last handful of years. And so it's one of the most severe punishments we've ever seen handed out to a team. To the question of why Kawhi Leonard didn't get more, my first thought was, remember when this went down with the Astros, it's just much more challenging to punish a player because you got to go through the players' union. And I saw yesterday speculation of like, oh, the Clippers have to fight this or is there some sort of vote that's going to go on here? And then other people reported like, no, their rulings are final. The Clippers can file something in court and they could take you and try and find a judge that's on their side of this, but there's no like appeals process, there's no arbitration process, their ruling is final, and so the Clippers' only avenue is to file a lawsuit. I didn't think Adam Silver had the balls, and clearly he did, because this was a massive punishment to the richest owner in the NBA.
You have motivated me to do a poll question early this morning.
Are the Clippers dead?
Who will have more success on the court for the next decade, the Clippers or the Blazers?
If we cannot be better than the Clippers for the next decade, just pack it up and go home.
Well, I think the one thing you're kind of overlooking here, because this is a huge punishment. I mean, they're overall going to lose 10 picks in the Kawhi Leonard.
I mean, that's insane. When was the last time they had a first round pick?
Well, they got one this year.
Oh, did they have one this year?
Remember the Pacers? Oh,
that's right. The Pacers trade. That's right.
The contingency on it with Zubac. Here's the only thing I would respond with. I don't know how dead or not dead they'll be. It's totally normal and I think reasonable to have that opinion by you. I'd also respond with, their owner's gone for a year. He's not going to lose all his money in a year.
No.
You can make trades to acquire other assets as well.
It's much more difficult without any of those first round picks to play with.
But if Darius Garland is a stud this year, they might just be like, what if we just flip him for two picks and now we're getting back into the picks business that we lose?
Got two of the five back.
And maybe there's been something written that I have missed. I've tried to keep up with everything that says they're going to lose any picks that they trade for, but I haven't seen that.
That would be
my
brutal.
Whole point is just merely like, you're still going to be able to field a team, are you not?
Oh, yeah. Those still
trades
have a roster.
Can still happen.
Sure.
And I kind of curious about this. I think it's an easy vote for the Blazers, but a decade's a long time.
Yes, it is.
And if you don't capitalize in this Denny, Tumani, Donovan, Dame, Drew window you've created, I don't know what it looks like 3 years from now.
We got all those first-round picks. That's what we got, Bob.
You know who's not going to circumvent the cap because they're broke? The Blazers.
We don't got to worry about breaking that rule at all.
We do not.
Let's count the first-round picks over the next 10 years between the two teams. Because the Clippers have, what, they're going 5 years without one.
That's, well, they already.
Do they have 2027 or 2028?
They still hadn't, I believe, paid off the Clipper Thunder picks.
Those picks are still in trade. Like, they still had a couple of more in that trade that the Thunder had. So, and then that's why the punishment doesn't even start till 2029. So they got the one, that was a good point out from Indiana this year, but in terms of their own first round pick.
And they only got that because it had the stipulations of finishing in a certain window. If the Pacers get the pick.
Yes, they lose
the Clippers,
that. Yeah. They wouldn't have had a first round pick this year either.
Talk about a whoopsie daisy. Here was Steve Ballmer. I forget when this was, but it wasn't that long ago. He did a sit down studio interview with Ramona Shelburne. And she asked him, this was their back and forth on the investigation and the Kawhi Leonard Clipper story.
So why do you think they gave him that much money?
A, let me just repeat, I don't know how much money they gave him.
Well, in the court documents and in Pablo's podcast, they report it was $28 million.
Pablo's podcast, I don't know anything about the court documents on this. I haven't seen them and I don't know. I'm not trying to be, ooh, I don't know. I really don't know. But the speculation is what it is. And why did they do that?
It's a lot of money. I mean, $28 million, $7 million a year is a lot of money for a guy that you didn't actually require to do anything.
I don't know why they did what they did, and I don't know how different it is. I really don't. And frankly, any speculation would be crazy. These were guys who committed fraud. How would I be able? Look, they conned me.
You're one of the richest men in America.
They conned me. I made an investment in these guys thinking it was on the up and up, and they conned me. At this stage, I have no ability to predict why they might have done anything they did, let alone the specific contract with Kawhi.
Should be noted, ESPN with Don Van Notta Jr., Ramona Shelburne, Baxter Holmes. Yeah. Those are two of those three names are known as like the go-to investigative reporters. Wickersham is in this conversation. Shelburne is very LA-based, so she has, you know, she's been down there a while with LA-based stuff. Those three teamed up and wrote an article, and it basically the headline was no evidence that the NBA has on the Clippers doing this. There was no like counter argument. It was an entire article by those three, and I don't know if we've seen a bigger whiff in investigative journalism than that piece they wrote, given what we just watched the NBA do to that team.
It's a great reminder for anybody who works in that space that sometimes you are told things that are beneficial to people and not fully true. And I think we see this quite often.
But Baxter Holmes and Don Van Notta are not guys I would classify as they get some information and then just run entirely with it. Like, how do you not counteract what clearly was the Clippers giving you their side of the story?
Clearly, the NBA disagreed with this the entire time, because the second that report came out, we talked about it. They came out in the aftermath of it and were like, that is not true. We have not reached a conclusion on this in any way, shape, or form. And I am a believer that part of the reason the punishment ended up being so extreme was that reporting happened before the NBA was able to release their final assessment of it. And it jumped out in front of the breaking news that the NBA was going to eventually have, and that would be the actual punishment of the Clippers. And so it made the NBA look embarrassingly bad, and they responded by dropping, in my opinion, an even heavier hammer. It's a great question. I would love to know the reasoning behind the scenes of how three of the most respected reporters in sports somehow got the scoop wrong all simultaneously for ESPN, that there was no link, there was no punishment coming, Ballmer and the Clippers were going to get off. I mean, that, it's one thing to say the NBA is still looking, or maybe they haven't found completely a smoking gun yet, but the investigation isn't done. It's another to come out with a report and basically say this is much ado about nothing. Everybody mocked and laughed at Pablo Torre for like a week after that report came out, and then look how it all ended up playing out. It is a baffling story of how wrong they got it, and it's a great point if they had to have reached out to the NBA. I just don't know how I don't know how it's possible that you get something that wrong. Clearly, their information originally came from the Clippers, who were trying to get out in front of the news, and it was not accurate, and the NBA, I think, punished them even harder because of it.
We have Jamarcus Shepherd at 7 a.m. One more. I got some follow-up audio to get to and talk about with this Kawhi Leonard Clipper punishment that came out yesterday. 5 first-round picks, $30 million fine, and 3 1-year suspensions, 2 of which are going to be without pay for the LA Clippers circumventing the cap with Kawhi Leonard. We'll have more on that coming up next on 105.1 The Fan. All right, we'll talk with Jamarcus Shepherd coming up here at the top of the hour. Oregon State heading to Houston for a 9 a.m. Pacific kickoff on Saturday as their season gets going. Weirdly thought of my coworker having a massive sports erection yesterday from an announcement from his alma mater. That probably felt great. We have an elite jersey off on Saturday.
We do, yeah. School colors, it's a rare thing that happens sometimes at my university, and when they do it, I appreciate it.
And I like the road Boise uniforms are going with, the white with the blues.
As long as it's Boise not playing on blue turf, it's a great look. Blue and orange is a solid combination. It's just when you're on the blue turf, it's just too much blue.
Poll question is up. Who will have more success on the court in the next decade, the Clippers or the Blazers? Because you have announced that the Clippers are dead now.
They're dead. I've killed them. The fork is in them. Goodbye, Clippers.
I've seen others basically make the claim that this is the equivalent to the SMU
the death penalty
punishment.
I mean, they'll still field the team. They're not like banned from playing basketball for the next 5 years.
It'd be weird if they did that, though, wouldn't it? Like a postseason ban in pro sports?
Not even a post. Like, you just shut down the organization. Nobody's allowed to play. All your players scurry.
You can make an argument they should.
I mean, yeah. So, by the way, their future first. So, 2027, there's all sorts of OKC, Denver, Toronto swap rights.
Oh, yeah.
Depending on where it ends up. 2028, they do not have a first-round pick. And then 2029 is when the punishment kicks in, right?
And by the way, that's a pick that was from the Pacers.
Yeah. Oh.
Because they got 2 from the Pacers. The one was protected this year, and then the 29 one.
So they have their own and Indies
and
in 29.
Indies, yeah.
Their
they
own,
lost
though,
the Indy one.
Is swapped to Philly unless it shows up in the top 3 of the draft. So they already were going to lose that pick unless, maybe not anymore. And then 2029, their own, the Indy pick as well. So they're going to have 1 first-round pick, but it's, I believe, the least favorable of OKC, Denver, or Toronto.
Here is Mark Spears on pressure from the other NBA owners on Adam Silver to punish the Clippers for what they did.
I think there was a lot of pressure for Adam Silver amongst the other 29 owners to make sure that the Clippers got punished for this, like that this can't be tolerated. And, you know, do you want to make one owner mad or do you want to make 29 owners mad, right? So I certainly think there was a lot of pressure in that regard. And, man, was this certainly a really big punch uppercut to the Clippers organization.
It should be noted, I want to make sure this is said as well, and I'm sure some of you have already read about this. Partially the reason they've also been hammered the way that they have been isn't just from doing interviews publicly and saying, oh, I don't know anything. I don't know anything about this. It's also that they're a repeat offender. So most people don't remember or even know that the NBA fined them in 2015 $250,000 because in a recruiting pitch to sign DeAndre Jordan, they basically promised him a car deal. And so they got fined. Ballmer was the owner of the team. He said, quote, "We believed we were doing this the right way, and any circumvention was inadvertent. In our effort to support our players in every way possible, we as an organization must be diligent in complying with the CBA." So he agreed with the fine at that point when they were caught circumventing the cap.
And $250,000 to Ballmer is nothing.
I mean, that's probably in his pocket.
Yes.
This one, however, is $30 million, and he's suspended from any and all basketball-related events. So you won't see Cede Ballmer around the NBA for a year.
Imagine spending $5 billion on an arena and then them telling you you can't go to games for a year.
Well, I want to highlight, like, they're a repeat offender. This isn't, this is a bad story. It's awful. It shouldn't happen. I'm glad the NBA is nipping this in the bud. But, like, also the reason it is as heavy as it is because they're repeat offenders under Ballmer as circumventing the cap.
Yeah, I completely forgot about that happening 11 years ago. And it just, like, I know it's probably a used take because there's not many others that you can have on the topic of the signing and trade of Kawhi and then moving on for Paul George. But it's funny in the moment when Dame hit that shot against OKC, we all thought, that killed the Thunder because then Paul George got traded. They started over again. Russell Westbrook moved on. Like, it set off a whole chain of events, and we thought at the time that it killed the Thunder. Ironically, it killed the Clippers. That's who it ended up killing because the trade of Paul George from OKC to LA is what kind of started all of this, and Kawhi Leonard, the signing of him. It will go down in history as one of the most consequential signings in the history of sports. Like, this isn't Anthony Rendon, like, stealing money and not playing and falling out of love of baseball. At least Kawhi Leonard, not fully available, but sometimes available during that run. But when you look at the impact that it's going to have and the lasting legacy it will have on that organization, it's going to go down as maybe the most impactful signing we have ever seen. And a great reminder in a league where we all try and project where things are going to go and how things will turn out. When that happened, I will never forget where I was the night that Kawhi Leonard signed with the Clippers, and then hours later, Paul George was traded. And we all mentally went to the same place of, oh my God, that's a tandem that nobody's going to be able to stop for years to come. And they accomplished next to nothing as an organization, and now we'll be paying for it for essentially another decade.
Their president, Gillian Zucker, is actually the big culprit in this whole thing. And I'm just going to operate in the idea that, like, behind the scenes, it's a she, right? I assumed Gillian Zucker...
I don't know.
Was a woman.
I don't know.
Maybe it's a man. Anyways, Gillian Zucker was operating under the belief of, like, go do this, and that.
Oh, no, that's Anderson.
Oh, yeah. Zucker. Yeah, it is a woman.
Yes,
yeah.
It is. Yes.
That she was being told, hey, let's make this happen. What can we do? She is caught several times in emails basically reaching out to these companies and initiating kind of all of this. So Ballmer can claim, I don't know how much money he's making. And it's like, yeah, cool. But you can also say, go make sure he makes more money and move right on so you can play stupid. So
I was conned too.
Exactly.
I lost money too.
We didn't get to it all. We can circle back on this later in the show. We got our dirty poll stopped today at 9:27. We got a magic hat, so we can maybe squeeze some time in.
Yeah, we'll get back to it.
Kawhi Leonard only fined $700,000.
It's the Astros thing, man. It's the same thing.
Player's not really dinged. It's more the
if you punish a player, what do you have to go through?
Yeah. Yeah,
pretty powerful players association in professional sports.
You're right.
You don't want to deal with that, man. You give them enough of a fine that they don't fight back, and then you move on.
Yeah. Well, we'll get back into it. We'll have more college football and NFL stuff we'll get into today, but we kick off hour number two, Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, with a special guest for us with breakfast, Jamarcus Shepherd, head coach of Oregon State, next hour two on The Fan.